Now, if you can believe it, there's only, what, about 2.5 weeks left in this year? But with that, the challenge I invited you to accept last year also comes to a close. Now, last year, you were challenged to read through the Bible in a year. Now, I know, who's still doing that? Still on, excellent. Don't forget, January is a grace month. So if you haven't finished by December 31st, you have January to finish, and we will have a big luncheon to celebrate those of us who completed that year in February. So that's the schedule. So what are you going to do when you finish reading through the Bible? Now, I know those of you who are suffering through the prophets right now, you're all going to celebrate when you finish this month, are you not? Anyone looking for another challenge? Don't see anyone raising their hands on that one. All right, Jane's up for it. Maybe something easier for 2020. Now, bear with me for a while. All of humanity's problems stem from man's inability to sit quietly in a room alone. That was a quote from the famous mathematician and theologian Blaise Pascal, way back in the 17th century, long before the smartphone, an invention that ensures that we are never alone and that we are never quiet. Now, if Pascal is right, that all of our problems are due to an inability to be alone, then we're in big trouble, big time, because that's the problem and the bottom line for most of us. We have an almost pathological, and I know you know people, maybe yourself like this, that have a pathological fear of being alone with themselves, of losing that constant connection that we have to have with each other, digital connections, that is. Now, in today's scripture, long as it was, Zechariah sings a beautiful song about the coming salvation of God. But you've got to go through the whole story of Zechariah and Elizabeth to get to it. And it's the basis for the hymn we're going to sing right after this sermon. And there's a special reason that Zechariah could sing this song. He was able to sing it because he learned how to sit quietly, be in a room alone with himself, and stop talking. And God made sure of that. Now, Cal Newport, in his book, Digital Minimalism, Choosing a Focused Life in a Noisy World, he says that our culture is paying the price for our compulsive connectivity, our constant snapping, chatting, tweeting, posting, liking, and swiping have become a nervous twitch. You all know those people, you included. Swip, swipe, swipe, click, up, down, you know how it goes. The uninterrupted time we have with ourselves is shattered into pieces that are too small, he says, to support the presence of an intentional life. In plain English, that means that we spend close to zero time alone with our own thoughts and free from input from other people's lives. The problem is we weren't connected or created to live that way, to be constantly connected, constantly on, constantly alert for every tidbit of info that others feel we need to know about them and the world. Our brains need time to rest, to reflect, to process. And that only happens when we're alone with ourselves and disconnected from others. Are you getting a hint about my challenge for the next year? Maybe it's time for fasting, for digital fasting. Now, Luke begins his Christmas story here, not with Mary and Joseph, not with the baby Jesus, but even further back, with the story of John the Baptist's birth. Now, John the Biker, I don't know, Gordon. I'm going to have to think on that one. But maybe I'll give that to you. But it's a good example of how silence, even if it's imposed by God, not only allows for reflection, but deeper faith and an opportunity to listen to God and to discern what God is really up to in the world and in our lives. Now, Zechariah was an older priest, that's all we know, whose time has come to perform the regular temple duties that that the law requires. So yes, he was a Levite. If you remember your Old Testament, you through the Bible people. Now his wife Elizabeth has been barren for all of these years, which in those days was considered to be a curse from God. Yet we're told that they were righteous and blameless before God, Zechariah and Elizabeth. Now in the midst of an ordinary day of worship, God shows up and speaks to Zechariah through the angel messenger Gabriel. Now, Gabriel is the angel that God usually sends to tell women like Mary that they're going to have a baby. But here, instead of speaking to the wife, he speaks to the husband. Now, notice how Gabriel begins when he speaks to the father, Zechariah. Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Angels, when they show up, have to tell you that because it's scary. They are not those cute, white, winged, fluffy things that we see on Christmas trees. There's something to be reckoned with. Zechariah and Elizabeth had been praying for a long time for a son. And now their prayer was going to be answered. And the angel tells the priest that they'll have this son who will grow up to be like the prophet Elijah and prepare the way for God's Messiah. Well, of course, Zechariah asks for a sign. Who wouldn't? I mean, come on. Angels and crazy messages, you're not going to ask for a sign? I'm going to ask for a sign. That's something you can post on Facebook when it happens. Now, the sign that the angel gives Zechariah is the sign of silence. Even righteous old Zechariah needs to have some downtime, some unplugged time from the world to sit with his silence so he could have time to listen to God speak. And Zechariah got a belly full of that, and then some. Because of his unbelief, he was unable to speak until his son John is born. For many generations, God has been silent. When the people stopped listening to the prophets, God stopped speaking. I mean, why bother? But the silence didn't mean God wasn't with them. It only meant that the people had to do a better job in order to listen for God. And silence has a way of doing that. Attune our hearing. Help us to go deeper within ourselves and become aware of the world around us. It's only when we're silent and disconnected from other people and the things that vie for our attention, when we tune out, that we can tune into hearing what God has to say to us. Zechariah was silent for 9 months. Imagine that, 9 months of no speaking. 9 months, now I know you've got children you wish, oh please, Lord, send that to my child or husband or spouse. 9 months just to listen to God and discern what God might be up to through the birth of Zechariah's long-awaited son and even longer-awaited Messiah. And Zechariah learned that the silence, the fasting from being constantly connected, wasn't a curse. Far from it. The silence was a chance for him to hear that depth of God's saving mission that was coming to reality, starting with his family and spreading to the whole world. And that's how he can sing. In the silence, Zechariah had time to hear what God's plan had been from the beginning. Zechariah sings, he has raised up a mighty Savior for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke through the mouth of his holy prophets from of old, that we would be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, he proclaims. Thus he has shown the mercy promised to our ancestors and has remembered his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our ancestor Abraham, to grant us that we, being rescued from our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all of our days. That's part of the song that Zechariah could sing. Zechariah's silence was broken at last, and so was the silence of Israel's God, who speaks one more time through Zechariah and who would speak his ultimate word in the form of Jesus Christ, the word that became flesh. After that silence and waiting, God was going to have the last word, and that word was Christ himself. So go and read John 1. And this baby John, Zechariah and Elizabeth's son, will grow to be a prophet in the manner of Elijah, kind of an old throwback to the Old Testament, but heralding the New Testament. Like a watchman, he will announce the breaking of a new day, a new age, a light that pushes back the darkness of sin and death. The Messiah, he will announce, Jesus, who will lead his people on that way. Zechariah's song, which is called the Benedictus in Latin, is one of praise and promise. Beautiful. Like the song of Mary, we also get a little later in Luke's gospel. But he could only sing it after a time of silence. Advent is a time of waiting. It's a time of silence, a time to slow down, to be observant, to listen, to expect the unexpected. But you need some downtime to do that. And it's possible that in the silence of Advent, if you let it, you might discover a song like the one you used to sing, or find a new song, a new faith, a new way to look at God at work in your life. You know, it's tempting when we try to disconnect from the world, that all of those voices get us to try and stop. You know, we're too busy to be quiet. We might miss some important stuff or some Facebook tidbit if we turn it off for a couple of hours that we just need. Or that our social media contacts will go on without us and we'll miss out. But we weren't meant to be that way. Zechariah was struck speechless for 9 months by his encounter with the angel Gabriel. Maybe we need to be struck speechless by the power of his story, to be silent, to listen for what this God, who came in the person of Jesus Christ, this God who continues to work through the Holy Spirit, what that God is up to. But to do that, we need space. So consider some digital fasting this Advent. Lay aside the distractions. Make some time to just be in God's presence. And who knows what kind of good news you'll be singing about after the silence. Can you do it? I dare you to. Unplug for a while each day. Disconnect. Let the world go on without you for an hour or so each day. You know what? If you do, the world is still going to turn, whether you're connected or not. Turn off Facebook. Stop texting for a while each day. Who knows? It may be the death of some of you. But then again, it may be the start of a whole new, bold, exciting life. There's only one way to find out, though. Shh. Oh, and push that off button. Off. On your phone, the computer, and all that other stuff in your life. Have a Beverly Hillbillies Christmas. Where's Brian Wells, who would say, what's a Beverly Hillbillies Christmas? Someone please. Linda? Just set a spell. All the nonsense and foolishness, it's still going to be there when you tune back in. I promise. And you just might hear a new thing from God in the silence. And to that end, since I just wrote it, look for more in my newsletter article that'll be coming out in a few weeks about this. It's a disconnect, off. It's so easy. It won't kill you. It can only make you better. I promise. Amen.